Today in the Franciscan calendar, we celebrate the feast of our Holy Father, Saint Dominic. This may seem to a contradiction. Some will ask the question, wasn't Holy Father Saint Francis your founder? It is true, but there was such an affinity between Saint Francis and Saint Dominic that each institute celebrates the founder of the other because of the deep friendship that Saint Dominic had with Saint Francis. And so the life of Saint Dominic and the life of Saint Francis mirrored each other. And so what can be said of one can truly be said of the other. And so we can learn a great deal about the practice of our faith from the lives of these two great saints. And so today we reflect a little bit on the life of Saint Dominic. Saint Dominic was born of very pious and wealthy parents, which teaches us from the very beginning that it is not necessarily one's state in life that determines holiness, but whether one lives in conformity to the will of Almighty God. He was the youngest of four children. The oldest boy, Anthony, became a priest. The middle son is known as Blessed Manes, and the youngest became Saint Dominic, and his mother is known as Blessed Joan of Aza. So we see very clearly that this was a family that was imbued with the love of Holy Mother Church. And so we see in the life of Saint Dominic the necessity of holiness in the family life. He did not have the same situation with Saint Francis. Saint Francis had to deal with a father who was not quite what he should have been. That is not to say anything about the final state of his father, but we see that both of them understood the need and the necessity of family life, and so they would go about countering the errors of the time. For each of them was called by the Blessed Mother to establish their own institute in order to combat the errors of the time. And so each would in a certain way show forth to the world the same virtues, but in different ways. The Dominicans would become, as it were, the orders of preachers. The Franciscans would go about and particularly become known for the vow of poverty, which both were to witness to the reality of another world, a world beyond the world of this life. And if we exercise the virtue of poverty, we do so for one and only reason. That reason was given to us by one of the successors of Saint Francis, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe, one of his greatest sons, who told us, "We are poor in order that the liturgy and life of the Church may be enhanced." And so, we are poor in order that we may build up a Christian culture. And indeed, at the time of St. Francis and St. Dominic, there was an era about. The Renaissance had two forms, one in its truly Christian form, in which society, culture, was truly again beginning to be built up again. And so we would have the explosion of the construction of cathedrals and all the wonderful artwork that portray the truths of our faith. But also, there was a nefarious thing about during the Renaissance, which was another way to, in a certain sense, justify paganism by putting on it Christian clothing. And so Saint Dominic would go about in order to fight the heresies of the Albigensians and the Cathari. And indeed, it is the principles that they founded were the very foundation of the Protestant Revolution in the life of the Church. And that is truly why, in all forms of Protestantism, there are the most conservative forms of Protestantism will allow three formulas of baptism, one of which is only valid because by its very nature, if it is not grafted back onto the mystical body of Christ, it is doomed to destruction, and it is doomed to fall, as in many cases it has, into a form of paganism that is merely clothed with the words and the appearance of Christianity. And so Saint Dominic would have great trouble, especially countering the heresy of the Albigensians, until the Mother of God would appear to him and would tell him to first pray the rosary. And so she revealed to Saint Dominic the rosary in the form that we know it. It is not as if she gave him something new, for the rosary is, at least in its seed, is present from the very beginning of the Church's life. We see very clearly from the churches in the Holy Land, most of all of which are dedicated to the mysteries of the rosary. And so it was the mysteries of the rosary that were the very part and parcel of the life of of all Christians. It was only with St. Dominic that the Blessed Mother organized it in the form that we presently pray it. And so we must use that as an instrument to count heresy, for our preaching and our example will be fruitless unless that preaching and example is cemented with the virtue of pious of prayer life. And so we must pray constantly that the Lord of all goodness will bless our works, because it is the very nature of the Albigensians and the Qatari, the pure ones, and it is the basis of Puritanism, by which one believes in a certain sense that they produce their own grace. If I do such and such, God is bound to do such and such for me. But that is not to pray in a spirit of humility. That is not to offer sacrifice in a spirit of humility. For we must give our prayers and our sacrifices back to the Lord without any conditions attached to them, only begging Him constantly for the good that all mankind need, both for ourselves and for all those, particularly those who are caught in the modern form of these ancient heresies, that is, the heresy of paganism, which abandons God and exalts man, and declares that man is the ultimate end of all things, and that he is the pinnacle of all creation, and indeed, that he and he alone can bring about goodness into the world. When St. Dominic was born, he was known as Dominic de Guzman, and so we learn a great mystery, that each and every one of us, including the saints, began in the same way. He was known as Dominic, not saint. He would become a saint because of the love he would show to Almighty God and His Blessed Mother. But while his mother carried him in her womb, she would have a vision. She would have a vision of the child to be born as a dog carrying a torch. And so we have to reflect upon what is revealed here. For a dog is known by its fidelity, its loyalty, and its watchfulness. And St. Dominic, as well as St. Francis, would certainly be known by their fidelity and loyalty and watchfulness. A torch is a torch of truth because it is the Word of God. But it is most important for us to reflect that it is not simply the flame that comes to the torch that we are united by, but the torch, the carrier of the flame, is a symbol of the Mother of God. And so what would become a friendly rivalry in the Dominican and the Franciscan order, how the Immaculate Conception was to be understood, and eventually it must be declared that the Franciscan thesis would win out. But it is not because it was not the thesis of St. Dominic. It is very clear from the writings that we have of St. Dominic, it is very clear from the vision that the mother had of this son to come, that he understood the Immaculate Conception as with St. Francis, as the Church has defined it, that she and she alone is preserved from all stain of original sin, and that she is the new Eve, just as our Lord is the new Adam. And so the new Eve and the new Adam are very titles of what is known as the doctrine of the co-redemption, because in the scriptural understanding and in the mind of all those saints who have expounded on it, they are the same things. What was done by Adam and Eve would be undone by the Redeemer and the co-redemptrix of the world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His most holy mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if St. Francis and St. Dominic had never said a word about the Mother of God, their very life spoke of her existence, not simply in an academic way, but in the very examples they would give to the world. They spoke of the fidelity of the Mother of God because their fidelity was a participation in the fidelity of the Mother of God. They exhibited loyalty to the truths of Almighty Faith, of our Holy Faith, because their loyalty was a participation in the loyalty that the Mother of God always had from the first moment of her conception towards the Son of God. Their watchfulness was a participation in the watchfulness of the Mother of God, who had no sin to repair for, but yet she is the model of all virtues. She is the model of modesty, she is the model of faith, she is the model of charity, prudence, justice, and every other virtue that can be numbered, because she was watchful. She would not go about being a busybody in the world, but she would make pains that when she traveled in a humble and quiet way, not drawing attention to herself, because she only lived to draw attention to the one who was in her womb. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. And so, with St. Dominic and St. Francis, they could declare the same thing. Their soul rejoiced in God their Savior because they were truly transformed into the Immaculate Mother of God. And so, let us turn to them this day and pray that they may attain for us some degree of participation in the fidelity, loyalty, and watchfulness necessary for all Christians, but most especially that we may participate in that humility that does in no way, manner, shape, or form think that man can do anything to merit the good that God intends to give them. But it is all a gratuitous gift of Almighty God, and no matter what we do, we cannot possibly equal what God has done for us, that is, delivering the sacred humanity he took from the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, offering it up to be slaughtered on Calvary so that mankind may enter into again into the mystery of that life that we are all called to enter into, that life we are all called to live in, that is, the life of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who alone are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and from whom alone all good things come, and from whom alone human beings are called to return. And so, let us through the teachings of our Holy Father Saint Dominic and our Holy Father Saint Francis, let us through their teachings, and let us through prayer, let us through their fidelity, their loyalty, and their watchfulness, turn everything back, give everything back to the Lord, who will give us all the good we need. And so the torch of truth may burn in our minds and our hearts, but most especially, as it did in the lives of Saint Dominic and Saint Francis, burn in our examples, so that if we never speak, our lives themselves will be a witness to the love of the Immaculate Virgin Mary and her most holy Son in our lives, so that we too may become what they became, a light to the world, not as it were hiding their goods under a bushel basket, because they could show the world that their goods did not come from themselves, but they came from the Lord, and to the Lord they are to return. And if we return them to him, then we will gain in return something greater than we have given, for we will gain that blessed vision of him for all eternity in the life to come, that cannot be stolen from us, that cannot be taken away from us, where charity alone will remain and burn in our hearts for all eternity, where the flame of divine love will be the flame that warms our souls as we grow each and every moment of eternity in a better understanding of that which the human person was created to contemplate, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons.